All right. Well, I would like to welcome you back from dinner, and we are going to get started with the second part of our evening together here at Forum Number 3. I want to thank Jonathan and the team that put the meal together. Mike and Pam Price helped with that, and Pastor Keith and John Mayer helped out with that. So much appreciated. There are hot drinks just beside the sound booth there, and there continue to be cold beverages over on the side. So if at any time you want to wander over and help yourself, please feel free to do that. So we are going to continue with our teaching segment. Part of the goal of our forums is to present in a larger group context information and perspective to help inform our decision-making here as a church family. And so one of the things that we've talked about is making sure, and one of the commitments that as you read through the playbook, is making sure that from the leadership team of the church, you're hearing a diversity of perspective. And so we, again, want to reaffirm that there are no predetermined outcomes to our process in the Women in Ministry leadership discussion. And so we have not designed this process just to hoodwink you so that at the end there's some decision that's already been made and we're just putting on forums to kind of help you feel better about yourself and, you know, take your time in wonderful evenings and afternoons. So that being said, we want to affirm and let you know that in this discussion, as many of you who have already experienced in your small groups, there is a vast diversity of opinion. And so we're going to give voice to that. John's coming around with some handouts. And if you've been doing some reading that we have posted both on your resource pack, some of the online articles, some of the books that you may have bumped across and availed yourself of through our lending library, you may have come across different terms. And some of the terms may not have been fully explained or you may not have come across them in other contexts. And so I want to just maybe give you a few handles for your thinking for this evening. When Andrew was walking us through his journey, that may have been representative. And Andrew, I don't want to put words in your mouth, and so you can feel free to kind of give me a feedback on this. But Andrew's journey would be largely represented under the umbrella category of egalitarianism. And there's many nuances to that. There's many different ways in which, you know, that has been articulated within the Christian community. How many of you have bumped into that term in your reading or that has become something that's a little bit more familiar? Okay, some of you have. And there's other terms as well that you may have bumped into but not fully understood or articulated. One of those is complementarianism. And so this is a perspective that we've invited Johnny and Tammy Thiessen to come and speak to us on. Johnny and Tammy are friends. We have been a part of a church planting network in our province here for a number of years together. And they are with Vintage 242, which is a church in Abbotsford. And the 242 is based on Acts chapter 2, verse 42, which speaks about the heart and intent and desire of their community to be a witness and to be true to the gospel in all of its different facets and expressions. And so I have really appreciated getting to know them over the last number of years and their family. And we've spent time together in such exotic locations as Bakerview in Abbotsford. And also we spent some time together in Hawaii when we were there with the church planters. But I appreciate their leadership, and I appreciate the way in which they have a real heart for church planting and multiplication. They've been a part of, some of you will know Glenn Davies from our area here, and they had the privilege of partnering with Glenn and with their family, and Glenn and Janice have just moved up to Squamish to begin a church plant there called The Rock. And so they were apprenticing with Johnny and Tammy before they did that. There's another apprentice couple at Vintage 242 now that'll be planting in the city of Vancouver. And so I've really appreciated their heart for leadership and for developing leadership and also for providing a lot of leadership and an articulate voice in our conference to the whole area of leadership and the whole idea of complementarianism. And so with that as an introduction, I want to let Johnny dive right in. You've got a handout in front of you. There's lots of material there. And so Johnny and Tammy are going to walk us through this. and I appreciate and love their passion and the depth in which they care for and nurture their own spiritual walk with God, and appreciate their Johnny's teaching ministry as well. So we're going to jump in, and anything else? Have I neglected to mention anything else?
That's good.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
Good. Well, let's pray before we get going here. Father God, we just come before you and just praise you, God. You are the God of this universe. You have created all things, and God, you've created us male and female, and you said it was good. And so, Father, tonight as we look at an issue that can be divisive, God, I pray that we wouldn't be. And Lord, I just thank you for my brother Andrew, who just did a wonderful job of looking at Scripture and what it says. And so, Father, I pray that that you just give me wisdom, that you would help all of us to have a discerning heart and by your Spirit, Father. And so we just love you. And Lord, I pray that any discussion tonight only brings glory to yourself. And that is why we've been created, and that's what we want to do here tonight. So, Lord, thank you for these men and women that are gathered here. And give us wisdom, we pray. I pray for Jericho Ridge, Father, that you just give them wisdom as they form their leadership in the future. And that, Lord, I pray that we do this because we want to see more worshipers created of you. And it's not just so Jericho Ridge can get big. It's so you can be glorified and so more people will come to know you and be worshipers of you. So that is our goal tonight. That's our prayer. And we ask you that you be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I appreciate being here, and I'm impressed by having so many people out on a night like this. Either you really like hamburgers and hot dogs, or you're really committed, and I think it's probably the latter, that you're committed to growing a church, a healthy church that's going to create more worshipers of God. And that's exciting, and again, I love Brad and Megan. We've done lots of retreats and stuff with them, and they just you're blessed to have a senior pastor couple that loves you guys and loves Jesus so much. And Andrew, thank you for your talk on that issue. I was hoping I'd disagree with him a lot more. We have some more debate, but about 90% of the stuff he said, I just like, that's right on, and we totally agree. And where I want to start is I want to kind of back us up a little bit and not just look at, when we look at this issue, what happens is we see this issue as, man, what are we doing? We're putting down women. This world's had enough of putting down women, and we kind of put our backs up. And so maybe some of you are like that, and I'm the guy that's getting up, and some of you already hate because you think I'm going to say something that's going to tick you off, or I'm going to try and put women down. And others have a more of a different view. Maybe you agree with me already, and you're like, okay, you just pound those guys. We got to win this thing. And that's not what we're here for. That's not what I'm here. And when Andrew called me on Thursday, he said, I want to have a spirit of love and camaraderie and the spirit of the gospel. And we talked, and you just get that sense with Andrew, and I hope I have that same presence too, because we're all here for one purpose, and that's to glorify God. But I want to share a little bit of my journey. I grew up in Richmond in a church called Richmond Bethel, where Al Thiessen was at. And he actually kicked me out of youth group, or tried to kick me out of youth group when I was in grade 8, because I was kind of a wild thing. And it was a journey, is right. And then I went, and I was at a church in Richmond called Fraser View for 18 years, seven of which I was on staff as youth pastor. And in that church, we had a senior pastor that would be very egalitarian, and allowed women to do anything. And there was no really, we didn't do any teaching on it. That was just his view, and that influenced the church, and that was, well, whatever. In that church, we also had a number of families, especially one family that was, I thought, a little whacked out. I don't want to hurt any feelings, but they went to this thing called Basic Youth Seminars, or Basic Youth College, with Bill Gothard. Okay, you've heard of them. And it kind of had this view that women were some sort of subservient creature to a man. And you know, kind of the doilies in the hair and the jean skirts and, you know, that kind of thing. And when I saw that, I said, okay, my senior pastor must be right, because that's definitely wrong. And when I looked at that, there was, and I didn't do much thinking of it myself until it came to plant my church. And I needed to decide for myself, as I planted my church, what is my view? And so I did that. And we didn't do in our church like Brad's doing here. We just said, this is what we are, and if you don't like it, there's lots of other churches. And that's what we did. And we do that now. My way wasn't, you know, I'm not saying your way is right or wrong, but that's just the way it was. And so what we did is I really studied this and had to come up with what I believe and what am I going to teach. And so what you've got in front of you is 21 pages of my notes condensed as much as I could, and I'm not going to try and bore you to death. If you start falling asleep, I'll get my wife up here, and then she'll talk, and then she'll wake you up because she's a better speaker than I am. But anyways, she's going to come up afterwards and do a question, like the Q&A with us. But that's where we've been, or where I've been. What I want you to hear first and foremost is what I'm not saying. Okay, I am complementarian. I believe that men and women are created equally in God's image to complement one another. Completely equal, completely equal, completely equal. Completely equal. Are we good on that? Because when I start talking, people, well, it must be women aren't equal. No, it's not. But I believe that God has created us for different roles, and that's what being complementarian is. What happens is when I do a lot of research and listen to people talk about women in ministry, what they go to is they go to a hierarchical view, which I would say would be the Bill Gothard view, where there's, and I'd say there's three types of views on this subject. Egalitarian, which means that there are no distinctions in roles for men and women in the church. A complementarian view, which I believe there are distinct roles that God has created that are good and that men and women are completely equal. And then there's a hierarchical view, which basically says that men have some kind of superiority to women, and that's kind of the one that we see kind of running through real strict fundamentalist church, the doilies, the jean skirts, that kind of thing. That's not what we are, not what I believe is biblical. And so that's those the three views that we want to do. But I think the bigger thing to look at tonight is not the sense of, are we going to let women be leaders in our church? That may be the big issue down the road, but it has implications, I believe, and it starts in the home. Because the church is modeled, the family is the first ruling authority structure that God created here on earth. And the church is modeled after that. Christ is the head of the church, the Bible says, and man is head of the wife. That's what the Bible says. I'm like Andrew. Everything we have to do has to be, we can't just start changing this thing. We stand below, we stand underneath Scripture. And we have to say, and I liked how Andrew has that firm foundation, that we stand in Scripture. We may disagree in some parts, but we stand under Scripture, and we want to sit back and say, okay, what is this saying? And what did it say to the people that it was first written to? And that's what we have to look at. But if we're not, sorry, one sec. I've got a little bit of a cold going on. But I think the bigger issue, what's happening with the church, is the church over the last number of years has become more feminine and more feminine. In my church, I don't have, or I've never had a woman come to me and say, you know what, I'm so sick of my husband. All he wants to do is take me to church. All he wants to do is pray with me. All he wants to do is serve me. I'm so sick of him. Never heard a woman say that. Never heard one woman ever say, oh man, my husband just leads me so well. I'm so sick of how he leads me. And I see your faces, ladies. What are you saying? Because it's the women that are dragging the men to church. It's the women that are doing that. And the women are coming to me and says, I wish my husband would lead me. I wish my husband would just lead our family. I wish he would take us to church. And that's what I hear. And I don't hear anybody saying, you know, my husband's so domineering and taking me to church. And it's like, if I'm right in saying, women, you want your men to lead. Stand up and lead. When I don't lead well, my family doesn't go well. When I don't lead well, my wife doesn't look at me well. She goes, stand up and lead. You're the man. Lead our family. And that's what my wife is, and that's what I believe God has put in us, is that men are called to lead. Not domineer, but to lead. And what's been happening in the church, I believe there's been a feminization in the church, and I've got some things that I just want to read to you. First, I'll start off with a statistic that was taken from it was the Baptist Press. It says this. It says, if a child is the first person in the household to become a Christian, and what they're talking about here is how kind of the evangelism in the church programs that we're doing. It says, if the child is the first person in the household to become a Christian, there is a 3.5% probability everyone in the household will follow. 3.5%. If the mother is first, there is a 17% chance that everyone else in the household will submit to Christ. Here's the clincher. If the father professes Christ first, there is a 93% probability that everyone else in the house will heed the gospel call. But we go after women and children because they seem easier. And the decision to allow or to say that we're not going to we're not going to have a male eldership, which we have in our church, that we're somehow hurting women, we're somehow coming down on women, we're treating with disrespect, is absolutely not true. I believe this is a kingdom issue. And a kingdom issue that is going to, like, I just look at those stats, a 17% or a 93% chance. And what happens in church is the more feminine the churches get, the less men are interested. Okay, because we have kind of a feminine Jesus, right? He's nice all the time and stuff. And guys, we don't really, we kind of don't understand that. And I want to read just a quick excerpt from David Murrow. He's written a book called Why Men Hate Going to Church. I don't know if has anyone read that? Good book. I'll just read this to you. The signals we send to men. Every Sunday, without realizing, we send subtle signals to guys. You are in feminine territory. The signal starts in Sunday school. Think of the pictures in Jesus as you saw as a child. Didn't they suggest a tender, sweet man in a shining white dress? As our boys grow up, whom will they choose as a role model? Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, or Arnold Schwarzenegger, the action hero? The irony here is that the real Jesus is the ultimate hero, bold, courageous as any man alive. But we've turned him into a wimp. There are signals in the sanctuary. Let's say a common working stiff named Nick visits your church. What's the first thing Nick sees? Fresh flowers on the altar, soft, cushiony pews with boxes of Kleenex underneath. Neutral carpeting, abutting lavender walls adorned with quilted banners. Honestly, how do we expect Nick to connect with God in a place that feels so feminine? Nick looks around at the men. Some are obviously there against their will, dragged by a wife or mother. Others are softies. Research finds that men who are interested in Christianity are less masculine than the average. Seminarians also exhibit more feminine characteristics than the typical male. Even the vocabulary of church-going men is softer. Christian men are used terms as precious, share, relationship. Words you'd never hear on the lips of a typical man. The signals keep coming during the service. Nick may be asked to hold hands with his neighbor. He may be asked to sing a love song to Christ, such as, Lord, you are beautiful, or Jesus, I'm so in love with you. Someone may weep. Then Nick will have his 8-minute male attention span put to the test by a 30-minute sermon. When this torture test is finally over, Nick is invited to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Let's spend a moment on the last one, a personal relationship with Jesus. That phrase never appears in the Bible, yet in the past 50 years it's become the number one way evangelical church describes the Christian walk. It's turned the gospel into a puzzle for men because most guys don't think in terms of relationships. Let's say Lenny approaches Nick and says, hey, Nick, would you like to have a personal relationship with me? Men don't talk or think like this, yet we've wrapped the gospel in this this man-repellent language. The signal keeps coming. Nick comes alive outdoors, but 99% of church life takes place indoors. Nick was never much of a student, but taking classes, reading the Bible, and studying books are presented as cornerstones of a living faith. He lacks the verbal skills to pray aloud or sit in a circle and share his feelings. Let's say Nick makes it through his minefield and decides to volunteer. The typical church needs people to care for infants, to teach children and youth, to sing, to cook meals, to serve on our committees, and to usher. Given that list, where do you think Nick will sign up? Somewhere in church history, most of the masculine roles were discarded, while roles for the lay women multiplied. Today, Christian service roles around tasks that women have traditionally performed. Men want to serve God, but many feel ill-prepared or even emasculated by the ministry opportunities we're offering them. Bottom line, today's church is no longer designed to do what Jesus did: reach men with good news. To borrow a term from advertising, women are the target audience of the modern church. The feminine atmosphere in our churches causes women to feel loved and nurtured, but men to feel hesitant and restrained. The only men who can function in this feminine milieu are those who happen to particularly be sensitive, verbal, dutiful, and studious.